If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
What is the proper name of a hot dog?
Absolute Delight.
It is an absolute delight.
But I'll give them an A-plus for being able to eat ice cream with chopsticks. That's a real talent right there.
I stayed 5 hours at a Japanese restaurant one time trying to eat soup.
And welcome to Trivia Friday. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by J.J. Jasper. Good morning, J.J.
Good morning. Good to be here. I found this very, very interesting. Immediately after Zoran Mondami was elected mayor of New York City, he became the Florida's top realtor. Immediately, simultaneously, became Zoran Mondami was elected mayor, immediately he became Florida's top realtor.
Well,
I just saw the sarcasm meter that we've got in here. It's pegging.
Well, listen, that's probably going to be close to true. Brother Bert Harper is our other professor today. I guess if Zoran Mondami could get some kickbacks on all those moving. Listen, he'd be a rich communist, wouldn't he?
He would. Just think, you know, Florida, I did read an article. Florida and Texas has grown more than any other two states population-wise. Guess who's leading the way of decreasing? It is four of them, New York, California, New Jersey, and Illinois. Why would they be leaving?
Right. Hey, you know, I joked about this, and I mentioned this to our family, which we're all – my family, they think their spiritual gift is sarcasm. But my wife, after I was half joking about it, she said she heard from a realtor in Florida. I mean, saw it on a news feed. We said, boy, after he starts wrecking New York and all these failed things, there'll be this exodus. She said within the hour when he was elected, her phone, she was a top realtor in Florida, her phone started buzzing people from New York saying, here's our budget. Will you find us a house? So it really is happening.
And that'll drive up housing prices, too, in Florida, because you're going to have an influx of people and they're going to all be looking for a limited number of houses, and the price is going to go through the roof, and simultaneously will drop in New York.
And
that
wonderful governor there, he needs to tell them, yes, you're welcome, you can come here, but don't bring your crazy politics here, because you'll turn us into the same kind of mess you guys have.
You got it.
All right. Well, let's skate away a little bit from the bad news.
Wait, skate away? That hockey, he just can't let it go, can he?
I can't let it go. I got to fire that puck wherever it goes, wherever it leads. Folks, it is Trivia Friday, the number to call to be on the program with us. Now, we do ask that if you've been on with us in the last 8 weeks, that you wait a week. So give as many people as possible an opportunity to get on the air and be here with us Trivia Friday. The number to call is 888-589-8840. We invite you to call in. We're all three professors are going to ask three questions each. Those nine questions are tossed to our students. We invite you to call in and answer one and ask one of your own. Try to stump us with one of your questions. 888-589-8840. JJ, one of these questions, these nine questions, the original nine questions, is a special question. What's up with that?
We've got a mystery question. If you're a longtime listener, you know that, as Ed mentioned, one of these original 9, so, you know, kind of do the math, and if they lay and they linger, even after we start adding questions, go, wait, I'm going to go back to this original 9. You poker players might be able to figure out which 3 or 4
counting
left.
Counting the cards.
We're okay with you counting cards. This is not Vegas.
Right.
But if you happen to land on the mystery question and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound. Ah, the beloved cowbell. That means you win yourself a really nice AFR cap. They are great-looking caps, so what a blessing. Hey, can I make mention quickly? If you don't win a cap, you can get one at our store. And this week, we've been telling you about our Christmas buttons, which are time-sensitive. It's witness wear. It's a great gospel conversation started. So if you don't win a cap, you can go to resources.afa.net. And while you're there, please consider getting a pack of our 10 buttons. Some businesses have those on the counter.
The Christmas buttons.
Brother Bert's got one. Yeah, the Christmas button. But people, you'll be in line, you know, doing your Christmas shopping. Somebody will turn around. It happens every day. They go, oh, I like that button. And a lot of our listeners say they keep some in their pocket. They go, here, you can have it. Oh, no, I didn't say it for that. No, I love to wear them and share them. And that's what we ask our listeners to do. Again, resources.afa.net. resources.afa.net. Of course, those buttons, Christmas buttons, are time sensitive, so maybe consider doing that over the weekend.
Yeah, and you want to order them as soon as possible so you can get them and start sharing them well before we get into the Christmas season. But like you say, JJ, too, take a look at the AFR ball cap we have. It makes a great stocking stuffer with Christmas coming up. There's also all kinds of great videos and books, other resources that we offer, resources.afa.net.
Matter of fact, our book, Alex and Mine, new book, it's there and it's streaming right there along with the Christmas buttons. So they can order our
books. It just came out.
Yeah, just came out. 100 questions and answers about prophecy. And again, I'm going to say we're 95% sure.
95%.
On prophecy, you learned you better have some, as best we can tell.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
What I know. He's coming back, and I'm ready.
That's good.
Or as a pastor friend of mine used to say, he's coming, and I'm going.
Amen.
That's good.
We will, at one point, folks, we will all rejoice and be together with
Praise
the Lord
God.
And God's people, and we look forward to that. And the Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to save you, to forgive you of your sins, and to come into your heart. The desire of every person, we hope, will be to be born again. That's what the Bible says, that unless a person is born again, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So our prayer for you is that you will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Amen.
And all right, so I think we are ready to start off. Brother Bert, you're not really a guest professor, but you're not always on, so we're going to let you lead off. And
I'll
then JJ go, I'll go, and then we'll go to the phones.
Okay, always have one Bible question. Here it is. I hope it's good enough. What are the names of Joseph in the Old Testament? What is the name of his two sons? What are the names?
And they, that's good.
Just to give a hint, they become a part of the 12 tribes, just to give that hint. Here's the next question. What U.S. state raises the most turkeys?
We're talking about New York already, so is that possible
and
answer?
Brother Bert, you might be a misnomer because Washington, D.C. is not a state.
Okay.
Oh, I think they lead the country in producing clowns, I think, Washington, D.C.
Now, look, we're having some fun with this, but I guess right here towards Christmas, we need to every once in a while have a little breaking news. They said that there are not going to be any manger scenes allowed in Washington, D.C.
Really?
They weren't able to find 3 wise men. That's what happens when the government gets shut down, I guess.
That was a good one.
I like
okay,
it.
Which United States state has the most turkeys? Right. Let me give you a multiple choice.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Narrow it down.
Yeah, out of 4 in place of 1 out of 50.
Yeah.
Is it Minnesota, Georgia, Texas, or Indiana? Which one of these states raises the most turkeys? And then the Andrew Griffith Show question. Man, I'm here on some more, and I'm having to work to find those good questions on Andy Griffith. Okay, here it goes. Well, on the Andy Griffith Show, what were the names of the two characters that are mentioned many times but never seen?
Yeah, that's a good. This is really good. Yeah,
and if nobody gets it, I'll give a little bit of hint along the way. But what were the names of two characters that are mentioned many times but never seen?
Well, I'll tell you, a preacher can add to that and say it's somebody and anybody. Somebody ought to do something about that. Anybody can do that. Can do that job.
I was there in spirit.
Here's what I've got. First question. If you're called a jarhead, what do you do? If you're called a jarhead, what organization or career are you involved in? Second question, on the TV show Happy Days, Fonzie's last name, anybody remember what his last name was?
Yeah, I do.
Fonzarelli. Yeah. Fonzie's last name was Fonzarelli. I'm looking for his first name.
I was about to blurt that out.
No, I'm glad you didn't. On the TV show Happy Days, what was Fonzie's last, what was his first name? His last name was Fonzarella.
Fonzarelli.
And third question, true or false? A mole must eat every 4 hours or it will die. Is that true or false? And I didn't know Tim Wildman was going to be out today, and I was already cringing because I said, oh, man, this is going to trigger Tim having a mole question. But again, true or false? A mole must eat every 4 hours or it will die. True or false?
All right, here are my three. What does the acronym SUV stand for? Some of our listeners, maybe a lot of them, drive an SUV. What does the acronym SUV stand for? Second question. Now, this goes back a ways, but some of you sporting fans will know this. When the American Football League began in 1960, which of the following was not an original team? This is multiple choice. When the American Football League began in 1960, which of the following was not an original team? Houston Oilers, New York Titans, which later became the New York Jets. Well, I guess I gave that answer away. The Miami Dolphins or the Dallas Texans? Which one of these were not an original American Football League team? Houston Oilers, New York Titans, Miami Dolphins, or Dallas Texans? And third question, I haven't done one of these in a while. A person from New York is called a New Yorker, while a person from Kansas is called a Kansan. What do you call a person from New Hampshire? A person from New York is called a New Yorker. A person from Kansas is called a Kansan. What do you call a person from New Hampshire?
You know, you don't hear much from those Hamptilians. Oh, I shouldn't have blurted that out.
All right. Go ahead, Brother Bird. Take us to the phone.
Okay. Mississippi's up first, and it's Aaron in Mississippi. Aaron, thank you for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Doing well, man.
I like being called a gentleman. Thank you, sir.
That hits two out of three. I'm not going to tell you which one it misses.
It's a multiple choice.
That's right. Aaron, what part of Mississippi are you from?
I am from Corinth, Mississippi.
Oh, man.
Oh,
I lived in Corinth. I did. I was pastor up there. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's when I was way further north, you know.
Yeah, that's a good area.
That's about as far north you go in Mississippi.
Is that north, far enough north to be called a Yankee in
Mississippi? It is in Mississippi. It is, yeah, yeah. Hey, Aaron, you want to ask, answer, or both?
Well, I actually just going to just answer this time. I actually got thrown off guard. I wasn't expecting to be the first person there. And I'm actually on the job working, so I'm kind of strapped for time. But I just wanted to say I had the pleasure of meeting J.J. Jasper a few years back. He came to our church, Holly Baptist, and spoke at one of our.
Wasn't it like a wild game dinner?
Yes, it was. It was a fabulous evening. I just wanted to thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. And it was
nice
a blessing
compliment.
To be there. Yes. Hey, which question you want to answer?
I wanted to do the I wanted to do the Jarhead. This is actually cheated on this. I just looked it up.
No, that's all right. Look, here's the question. If you're a Jarhead, what do you do?
It's a slang term for the United States Marine Corps.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Aaron, here's why I picked this. Monday was the Marine Corps' birthday, and they have a big deal with birthday cakes all around the country. But they started to call them jarheads, and it started as an insult, but then it became a term of endearment. And I think Ed Leatherneck, and there's two or three
Leatherneck.
Other.
Yep.
But here's what I did a little backstory on it just so I wouldn't be empty-handed. And it says the term first appeared as early as World War II, referred to the Marines' appearance wearing their dress blue uniforms, according to the National Museum of the Marine Corps. The high collar on the uniform, the Marine's head popping out of the top, they say resembled a mason jar. But that is something when you see that high and tight, you see a Marine, you go, hey, there's a jarhead. That's a term of an endearment. And to all you Marines out there, we say, oorah. Thank you for your service.
We do. Thank you. Way to go, Aaron.
Yeah,
thank you, Aaron.
That was, and Marine Corps birthday, the Continental Marines, established November the 10th, 1775.
Amen.
Way to go.
Amen.
Yeah, way to go. Thank you for listening, Aaron.
Yeah, and take care of Holly Baptist Church. Good church there. Thanks. Okay. You ready? Next one. Let's go to Texas, and it's Jesse. Jesse, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I hope I get through to the end this time.
Okay, man. Well, you want to ask, answer, or both?
Well, I'll do both.
Which question you want to try to answer?
I think I'll try to answer Ed's SUV question.
All right, here's the question, Jesse. What does the acronym SUV stand for?
Well, I believe it stands for Small Utility Vehicle.
Well, it's Sport Utility Vehicle. I'll go ahead and give it to you. It's pretty close. It's Sport Utility Vehicle.
Nicely done.
Way to go.
You know, the teenagers, because they always have a little twinkle in their eye, they're missing a good opportunity to say, we drive a SUV. What do you guys drive?
Well,
we're going to get in the SUV and go and get in the SUV and head to school.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, hey, Jesse, way to go. What's your question for us?
Well, I was hoping to get this question through before your first trip to Boston, but maybe I can get an answer to it. In 1873, there was some advertising signage placed in Boston. It's still in use today. Can you tell me what it is, what it originally advertised, and what it advertises now?
I'd answer that. No, I can't.
Hey, we got a Boston boy right here.
Yeah,
between
us. Okay. I'm not sure about this, but I am going to take a guess that the signage says Beantown. It's the nickname for Boston. It was originally used because of baked beans that were made in Boston.
So is it going to be something about beans, or is it going to say looking for people to throw tea bags off the ship into the harbor? Help wanted.
Well, no, that's not the correct answer.
What's the answer?
It's actually called the Steaming Copper Kettle. It was bought by the Oriental Tea Company. That was their first signage, and it's now being used by Starbucks. Can you tell me how much liquid it would hold or how many small children it could fit in it?
Small children?
You've been reading too much Hansel and Gretel. Stay away from that stuff.
How many children you can put in a steaming kettle?
That kettle. Stay away from the kettle, guys.
Yeah. Oh, what beautiful teeth you have. The better to eat you with, my dear. Yeah, you're reading the wrong kind. You need to start reading some of these 2025 and leave old Aesop and his fables alone.
Hey, Jesse,
we have no idea.
That's pretty deep dive. Did you think we'd even have a chance at that, Jesse, to know how many gallons and what kind of metal that pot was made out of?
Go ahead and give us the answer, man.
Ed would, I was hoping Ed would know since he was from originally Boston, but I used to be an over-the-road truck driver, and sometimes I'd get places where I ran out of hours, and so I'd have to rest while I would go sightseeing.
Yeah.
But it will hold 280 gallons of water, and they said they wanted to know how many children it would fit into. So when they drained it, they found out that 8 small children would fit in it.
That's
creepy.
Here's
the question. Did they get them out?
Yes. That is bizarre. Hey, thanks, buddy. Thank you for listening to AFR. Have a good weekend. And, boy, we got a lot of truckers listening.
I mean,
we hear from our truck drivers. Nobody would get anything if it weren't for truckers.
And they wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the farmers.
Oh, yeah,
farmers
I like that.
And truckers,
yeah.
Man.
My wife and I were driving into work today. She dropped me off, and we go usually in the country way, and met a tractor coming. Of course, he moved over enough, and we got by, waved to him. But I said, Go farmers, man.
You bet.
Keep producing that food, and we hope you can all survive not being taken over by BlackRock or some other big company.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember that bumper sticker years ago. Some of those things stick. It said, don't complain about a farmer when your mouth is full.
Hey. Oh, I like it.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
In Alabama, it's Larry. Thank you for calling, Larry.
Yeah, good to be back with you guys.
Okay.
What part of the Crimson Tide State? Where do you live?
It may be War Eagle.
I know it. Where do you live, Larry?
I'm the Quad Cities Larry that's called a few times before.
Yes, sir. Good area. Florence, Tuscumbia, Sheffield, and Muscle Shoals.
That's the four.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, Larry, you want to answer or ask or both?
I'm going to do both.
Which question you want to answer?
I think I got this one, but if I don't, call me stupid, but I'm going to try the Fonzie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Hey, good effort there. Here's the question. On the TV show Happy Daves, 1, 2, 3, 4. No, never mind.
Yeah, don't sing.
On the TV show Happy Daves, Fonzie's last name was Fonzarelli. What was his first name?
I believe it was Arthur.
Arthur Fonzarelli. Yeah, that was a fun little show there.
Yeah, he was supposed to be just a side character, and he became so popular, he became a regular figure on the show. And I always remember Mrs. Cunningham, Richie's mom, always called Fonzie Arthur.
That's it.
Yes. You
know? She's the only one.
Yeah. Well, and I know we're dating ourselves because that, aired, and it was kind of set in the 50s, but it aired like whenever
70s,
it was
in
the 70s. But one of the things, as a writer, I know you would appreciate this. I don't even have all the information, but they said that one scene in Happy Days where Fonzie was going to jump over a shark with some skis, they refer to that in writing and in journalism. They say jumping the shark. That had such impact that it's a term used in, I guess, journalism to this day.
Well, it's trying to get your readers back or your listeners back. In other words, they built it up because it was falling down a little bit, and jumping the shark was to get them going and reinstate them.
But it backfires. People mocked it.
It did.
And it was like, that's when the show actually went downhill. Yep.
It's trying.
Yeah, but it really, am I right that it was?
Yes,
like,
it is. It was a reference.
That's the word I was looking
for. It's a reference to when someone, a television show or a movie franchise goes too far trying to get people to come back, and it backfires.
Yeah.
So, hey, Larry, what's your question for us?
This is a little bit of a music thing back years ago. Name the singer who had a hit titled Time in a Bottle, went to number one after his death.
Jim Croce.
Yep, Jim Croce was.
You got it.
Yep.
You got it.
You want me to sing a little bit of it, Larry? Would that be soothing for you on this Friday morning? Hey.
Do that. Let me get my recorder out.
Hey, Larry, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling my bluff. You made me laugh there, buddy. All right.
Love you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to reset our questions and go right back to the phones. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. And later on in the program, JJ, you going someplace? We'll let our folks know that.
Thank you. Have some places here and there. Yes, sir.
All right. So short break. Don't forget, go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. We encourage you to buy a package of 10 Christmas buttons. We got brand new ones out this year. It's been 5 years, I think, since we've had some. So go check that out. We'll be right back, folks. Hope you join us. We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All right, welcome back. That's the theme song to the Mr. Ed Show.
No, that's
Andy Griffith. So Adam Suddeth, our producer today. Brent Creeley, I think, is scoping out the woods for deer season and taking some time off. Adam Suddeth gave us a little bit of Andy Griffith, and there's always time for Andy Griffith.
Always, yeah, always.
And Tim Wildman, if you're missing him, He went yard selling today. He just said that he doesn't get a chance to just take off a day and start hitting those yard sales on a Friday afternoon before everybody really
before
starts
Black Friday.
Like they start coming like locusts late in the day or like Saturday morning when it says open at 7, they're out there at 5 in pitch dark. He said, I want to get in front of all that. And just it's one of my favorite things to do is to go yard sailing.
Well, we definitely know he's not working in the yard because Miss Allison's the one who's in charge of that. So, Ed Vitagliano, J.J. Jasper, Brother Bert Harper, we are your professors today, and we are going to reset our questions and then go right back to the phones. So, Brother Bert.
Okay, in the Old Testament, what are the names of Joseph's two sons? Okay, they're born in Egypt, by the way. And here, with Thanksgiving coming up, I wanted to do this. Which U.S. state has the most turkeys? In other words, they raise them. Multiple choice, Minnesota, Georgia, Texas, or Indiana. And then the Andrew Griffith Show, and I appreciate that, Adam. Made me feel right at home. On the Andrew Griffith Show, what were the names of the two characters that are mentioned many times but never seen?
Those are good questions.
Yep. They're not mentioned just in one show. They're mentioned.
They're regulars.
They're regulars.
Really?
That's exactly. Yes, they are.
Oh, that's going to be. I can't wait to hear that. Here's what I've got. First question, true or false, a mole must eat every 4 hours or it will die. Is that true or false? I mentioned that around the family last night, and immediately my wife, Melanie, said, I might be part mole. A mole must eat every 4 hours or it will die. True or false? And I'll add a couple. Second question, Tuesday was Veterans Day. We salute those of you who have served and who currently wear the uniform. A lot of memorials, a lot of honor on Tuesday. So here's my question. Name the six branches of the U.S. military. Four will immediately come to mind, but there's actually six. Name the six branches of the U.S. military. Third question, baseball question from years ago. What are the nicknames of the Dean brothers who pitched for the St. Louis Cardinals? Now, one is very, very famous and very familiar. You're going to know one of those Dean brothers, but I need both. What are the nicknames of the Dean brothers who pitched for the St. Louis Cardinals?
And one of them went on to have a great career in sausage, didn't they?
That's a fist bump right there.
You know, you can't play baseball forever. You got to have a second career. So, all right.
Oh, that was good.
All right, here are my three questions. I've had one answered, so I will toss one in. When the American Football League began in 1960, which of the following was not an original team? This is multiple choice. Houston Oilers, New York Titans, Miami Dolphins, or Dallas Texans? Which one of those was not an original AFL team when the league began in 1960? Oilers, New York Titans, Miami Dolphins, Dallas Texans.
I can picture those red, white, and blue footballs. I can see those right now.
Wrong sport. Yes. Wrong sport.
But there's probably a lot of people that don't even know about the ABA. Yeah.
And yeah, I almost threw that little one-liner away because there's not many of us left.
Yeah, but Julius Irwin was part of the ABA.
Dr. J.
He was the ABA before he was in the NBA. That's right.
Well, and I think when they were when they were going strong with the Pepsi and Coca-Cola of the football and basketball, they're like, okay, come on, guys. This is too much competition. You're kind of doing well. We're going to merge these, but we're going to keep some of your key players, and we'll keep some of the teams, to tie in with your question. Yeah. Those of us old enough to remember that's pretty cool. But the ABA had those red, white, and blue basketballs.
All right, my last two questions for now. A person from New York is called a New Yorker, while a person from Kansas is called a Kansan. What do you call a person from New Hampshire? And here's the question I'll toss in, a new question. What is another name for the sport of ping pong? What is another name for the sport of ping pong? All right, let's go back to the phones, Brother Bert.
Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Bud. Bud, have you been hanging on for a whole week?
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Nobody answered the question last week about the theory of relativity or proximity. That is, if A equals B, then B equals C, then A equals C. And which means none of them could be a right triangle either.
Wow, good stuff.
I know that's that. I know that's the answer to that.
Bud, do you have time at the first of the year to do my taxes? I mean, to do somebody's taxes, I'm asking for a friend.
If you think I'm smart, I got a son smarter than me, and I have a woman in Corpus Christi, Texas that does mine, and she worked for the IRS for 25 years, and she's a genius. Taxes. She knows what's everything you can get in and everything you can get out. She worked for them 25 years.
Bud, you said I have a son smarter than me. You just said the answer for every single one of us parents.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a son smarter than me. I got a daughter smarter than me.
I had a son that made straight A's from first grade all the way through 12th grade and got a degree in political science and graduated with honors in that.
Wow.
And then he went to work for himself, and he's making about $7,000-$8,000 a week selling stuff on eBay.
You gotta be kidding! Hey, well, look, the Lord.
Political science.
Well, the Lord has really blessed you, my friend. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Yes, I want to. I'd like to correct one of your questions. You asked about the ABA basketball. The answers you give were the AFL football questions, and the Miami Dolphins were not a team in that.
Hold on.
You're about to give away his answer.
Unless you want to answer that question.
I'll answer that question.
All right,
let me repeat the question here, Bud. Hang on a second.
All right.
When the American Football League began in 1960, Which one of the following was not an original team? Was it the Houston Oilers, New York Titans, Miami Dolphins, or Dallas Texans?
It was the Miami Dolphins. They didn't come into a team to 1967.
That is correct.
Hey, nicely done,
you got
bud.
The right. You got the answer correct.
Yes, sir. What's your?
I'm on the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame nominate committee, so sports is part of my – I'm retired, so that's part of what I live for, sports. And I do a sports radio show out of Jackson, Tennessee.
Wow.
On Saturday morning.
Oh, that's great. Excellent. Hey, what's your question for us?
Okay, this is a Bible question. I figured I'd put this to you. In the Bible – in Revelation, it says, do not ask or subtract one word from the Bible. This is from in the last book in the Revelation. It's one of the last verses in Revelation. What one chapter, one verse in the Bible in the year 325 was changed by King James? One verse in the Bible was changed.
Brother Burt?
And there's correlation.
Could it be Romans 8:1?
No.
All right.
Okay.
I'll let you keep. I'll give you a couple of guesses as long as y'all want to. But when I tell you to, it's easily explained.
Okay. First of all, I think if I'm not mistaken, Bud, let me know that what the verse you're talking about in Revelation says, "Do not add or subtract from the words of this prophecy." Right. So it's talking about the Book of Revelation.
Yes, Book of Revelation.
Yeah. So I don't know which verse you're talking about. I think you've stumped the panel.
Yeah. What's the answer?
Matthew 28:19 was not in the first Bible wrote, the Geneva Bible. It was put in the King James Version by the Nicene Council in 325 A.D., He already had what he wanted to put in there, King James. He had these 50 bishops. But if the 50 bishops didn't put in there what he wanted, they were all exiled or done away with. But he said, when the Matthew 28:19 says you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that there's no person in the whole Bible, not one, baptized like that, not one person. Everybody's either baptized.
Well, let me just give this credit. Who was involved in our salvation? Now, we're just going to do this and go on to the next caller. The Father sent the Son, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and Jesus died on the cross for me. So all three, if you do it for one, you do it for all. Bud, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Bud.
Appreciate it.
Very interesting. Thank you so much, Bud.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's go to Mike in Mississippi. Mike, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead. Answer, ask, or both.
I'll try both.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Which one do you want to answer?
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. I've been trying for years to get on. This is my first time to be on. I've been trying for years. But
way to go.
Wonderful.
I just got lucky today because I'm on my way to Hattiesburg, live in Corinth. I would like to answer the Bible question that you had.
Okay. What are the names of Joseph? Now, the Joseph in the Old Testament, what are the names of his two sons?
I believe that would be Manasseh and Ephraim.
That is correct.
Nicely done, Mike. Thanks for reading the Word. Thanks for knowing your Bible. And they later became part of the 12 tribes.
12 tribes,
They were grafted in just like us Gentiles were grafted in, and the Lord's all about making his plan come together.
They didn't name one Joseph, but he got two out of the deal. And those of us that are dads, that's better for my son than it was for me. I'd rather have my two sons there.
And when he's given that blessing and he put his hands on there, Joseph switched his hands. And I wonder if it went back to whenever Jacob with Esau, his mom was helping him, trying to with putting that fur on his hand and going and getting the – with Jacob.
The blessing.
And Esau. So, a lot of wonderful stories in the Bible.
It is. Hey, Mike, what's your question for us?
Well, I'm sure you probably know this, but when does – I read the New King James Version. I've read both the King James Version and the New King James Version. And they correlate, they're very close. When does the word love first appear in the scriptures?
When does the word love first appear? Well, okay, so would it be in Deuteronomy where it says you shall love the name of the Lord? We're just talking amongst ourselves, Mike.
It could be
about when the Ten Commandments were offered up, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul.
I believe you may be right, because Exodus, I don't remember using that. I think
this is a little bit of a detour, but I found it interesting this morning listening to Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah. We've got so many wonderful shows.
Amen.
Bert and Alex in the afternoon. But he said whenever Abraham was taking Isaac up to offer him, and he said, let us go up to worship, he said that's the first mention of worship in the Bible.
Really?
Yeah, and that stuck with me. So, but what was the first mention of love? That's a great question, Mike. What do you guys say? I don't even have a good guess.
I'm just going to say maybe Deuteronomy 6. I'm just getting into guessing here. So.
Yeah, I'm going to guess something different just to be different,
because
I don't know for sure. It could be the bride for Isaac. No, it wouldn't be her.
I'm going to throw one in. One of those high priests, and he said, I might have that mixed up with a movie.
Hey.
Y'all scoot back in case there's a lightning strike.
That email, J.J. Jasper.
Oh, man, that's funny. Princess Bride reference on the show. That's excellent.
All right, Mike, give us some good theology. This is great. Thank you for this question.
What if you have nailed it, but you just didn't say it? It is in Genesis 22, where Abram took his only son Isaac. This is what God told him to do: take your only son Isaac,
whom you love. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah,
You were right on.
No, I just all I did is repeated what I heard about. That's the first time worship was mentioned.
Yeah, okay.
But it was right there
whom
in that.
You love.
Whom you
well,
love.
What a that is such a spectacular
demonstration
and foreshadowing of the love of God.
It really
only
is.
Son.
Yeah. Genesis
22. There's two things that they're first mentioned: worship and love.
Right. Wow, that is just superb.
Hey, Mike, thank you again for reading the Word. And, you know, it sounds like you read through both versions there. So continue to read, to study, even go next level and memorize verses.
Hey, and Mike, one last thing. Tell you what we're going to do for you. We're going to send you an AFR ball cap. Just because you've been trying to get on for a long time. Now, folks, we're not going to do this for everybody on the show today. Mike was the first one to mention it. So we're going to put you on hold, Mike, and then
great.
Okay,
Cindy Roberts will get your information, and we'll get one of these ball caps in the mail for you.
I just got to say this. It's good that God didn't ask Abraham to do that in chapter 12. In chapter 12, he said, leave your father. If you see each growth, each thing God asked him to do got a little bit more. His faith grew. And in the
That's
book of
excellent.
Hebrews,
yeah.
it says he was willing to do it knowing God could raise him up.
Yeah.
You know,
that's powerful.
I want to dovetail with that, because you have all these questions swirling around there in the first part. And Dr. David Jeremiah said, you didn't get the answer until you went all the way over to Hebrews 11.
That's it.
And he said, here's why he knew that God was able to raise him up. But he said, you know, I picture from these flannel graphs that it's a little young Isaac, and he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And so he said, what was that conversation like going up the mountain? And how, you know, like, wait, we didn't think we could have kids. We wrestled with that.
Yeah.
You know, here he came. Sarah laughed. We named him Laughter. And now you're asking me to give him up. But there's just so many layers of God's faithfulness.
Amen.
And he said he just wanted him to know he could be trusted.
You can trust
And that's
me.
What he wants to do with you listening right now. God just wants to put these different tests out there, not to test you and cause you to sin, but to test you and say, I'm trustworthy. Will you trust me with your finances, with your relationships, with your health? Will
Amen.
You trust me? I am trustworthy.
Amen. When you can't not trace his hand, trust his heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I like that.
Let's go to
Arkansas.
Hey, this
is good preaching, man. I'm being blessed left and right.
Shauna from Arkansas, Thank you for calling, Shauna. What part of Arkansas are you from?
We're down here by BB or Cabot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Shauna, I was in Cabot this spring. All that growth, every street I turned on, new places being built, and it was so clean, and it looks like the Lord is truly blessing your area. Jerry Lou Wagnon had me come to a widow's banquet, and I was just, it was thoroughly enjoyed that experience. That was this past spring. Got a great area there, Shauna.
Oh, man. I've got to pay better attention for when you're around next time. I'm really looking forward to going to one of your events.
But yeah, you don't want to miss JJ. JJ's fantastic. You won't regret it, even if to travel an hour or two.
I'm coming to Arkansas, Shauna, two times, February the 14th with the Valentine Banquet and February the 15th with the Valentine Banquet. The 14th, Family Farms. It's right outside Malvern, Arkansas. That's going to be on the 14th. I'm bringing my wife, Melanie, good, with me. Then the 15th is Locksburg, Arkansas. I think that's a little a ways from you, but maybe if you've got some people up in that part of the country, you can let them know I'm on the way.
Okay, Shauna.
Hey, all right. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Do you want to ask or an answer or both?
Well, I think I want to answer, and I definitely want to ask. So my daughter and I heard the question about Happy Days, and we want to know if that one's been answered yet.
It has. Did you know the answer?
Yes, and my daughter was very excited that she knew that, so I was going to call on that one.
Well, what's the answer?
Arthur.
Arthur, you're right. Arthur Fonzarelli.
How old is your daughter?
How old are you?
I'm nine.
Nine. Well, I just want to say one thing to you. I want to say one thing to you. Hey.
You didn't see that.
That was nicely done. Well, Shauna, which other question do you feel confident about?
Ooh, I don't know. I would take a stab at the mole one, but I'm not sure about that one.
What's true or false? So you got a 50-50 chance. You want to do that one?
Yeah.
All right, let me give the question again. A mole must eat every 4 hours or it will die. Is that true or false?
I'm really feeling strongly that it's probably true.
It is 100% true.
Wow.
And look, I did. And then whenever I mentioned this to my family, my wife said, I might be part mole. And then they asked, what does a mole eat? And I said, well, I don't know.
Roots.
So I got a little bit of
grubs, quick
backstory. Moles have to eat almost constantly to survive and can die from starvation within 12 hours.
Wow.
But they said, you know, generally they have to at least eat every 4 hours, but they actually eat almost constantly. Their high metabolism requires them to eat frequently. They consume up to their body weight in food every 24 hours. And it says that they eat worms, earthworms, grubs, and a few little things like that.
So I guess because they're constantly moving and digging, you would need a constant source of
nutrients. Says that. It said high-frequency need for food is the reason for the near-constant activity of digging eating and their high metabolism.
Well, I
want
to know.
So we might be part mole.
I want to know how they know what they're eating.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
that's right.
This is something new.
This feels like it's going to taste good.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, good guess. And you and your daughter, and do you have a question for us?
I do, but I was just going to say, with that high metabolism, I think that sucker must be related to my husband.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking a lot of people might be part mole. Might have to check out Ancestry.com, trace that back. What's your question for us?
Okay, so y'all are getting a lot of translation-heavy questions this morning, but I was already locked in before I knew that. So here's another one. My question is, why does modern Christianity tell Christians they have to have multiple translations and new ones to understand what God's teaching fully, then tell the same Christian they're ignorant and backwards for learning and growing in their King James Version? Is that not a paradox?
Oh, that's a good question.
We don't say that on Exploring the Word, by the way.
Right.
That obviously doesn't have a yes or no or straightforward answer. That's just something that kind of I've played with in my brain a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this is more for entertainment and for fun, But can I weigh in on this, guys? One of my friends who mentored me, he was one of the first that started trying to say, hey, there are translations, and he was just vilified, and people would go, that's the King James, the version that Apostle Paul carried. And he said, no, he did not. You know, it was, King James is a translation. It is a translation, and King James, you know, kind of made that happen. And I don't want to read anything else in Psalm 23 and all the rest, but I have to say, reading translations that went to the original Greek, the original Hebrew, that's really made it a little easier for me to read, because they talked like that back then, these and thous and withers and thithers, and we don't talk like that now. So half of me is strong King James, the other half I'm absolutely okay with reading something translated from the Arabic, Hebrew, Greek, true to the actual context.
I doeth not knoweth what thou hast saidest.
Yeah, listen, Shanna.
Quit ye like men.
Yeah. Here's the thing we just tell people is.
That's funny. That was in my Bible reading this morning.
Quit me like men. It doesn't mean quit. It means take a stand. But how would you know that unless you.
Get ready to die, because they were talking about the Philistines fighting the Israelites when the priest and Eli and his sons were about to get killed.
Yeah, so Shanna, what we just usually tell people is on, you know, questions that people argue about is go talk to your pastor, talk to your church leaders. AFA is a ministry that encourages all Christians to be involved in culture and politics. So that's what we tell people when they have different opinions on baptism and those kind of things. So I do want to thank you and your daughter.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what I'm going to do for your daughter, because it's her birthday.
Hey,
she just missed.
Happy birthday.
We're going to send her an AFR ball cap. Woo. So we're going to put you on hold. Cindy Roberts will get your information, and we'll get your beautiful daughter a ball cap. And with a happy birthday from Trivia Friday. So,
and thank you guys listening for getting in the word. Unity. Don't let something divide you, but stay unified.
We'll be back, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect